If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ye are God's husbandry. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are his building. Now, I want to ask everybody in the house, what did the Holy Ghost mean here when he's saying that you are God's husbandry? When it says that you are God's husbandry, it means that you are God's garden. Holy Lord. You are his cultivated field.
Yes.
It means that God owns, he plows, he tills the ground inside of you to sow his seeds that will bring forth good fruit. And that ground that he plows and he tills is the ground of your heart.
Amen.
Holy Lord. How many wants the Lord to sow his seeds in you?
Yes.
His seeds of righteousness, his seeds of holiness, his seeds of love. Sow it in me, God. Precious Lord, you're God's garden. Will you allow him to break up the fallow ground of your heart? And sow his seeds.
Yes.
How many's ever said, Lord, I'm in a place, I just need you to work on me.
Yes.
I need you to work on me, Lord.
Amen.
You know, every now and then, Holy Ghost conviction comes through and God uses that plow on us. He plows up the dirt, the soil, the ground of our heart. And when he does, he can sow that seed.
Right.
Praise God, praise God. I want you to turn with me into Mark's Gospel, Mark 4 and 3. And what I'd like to do today, I want to teach on the parable of the sower. While you're turning there, in this parable, can anybody tell me who the sower is? It's Jesus. Mark chapter 4. Now notice in verse 1. And he, Jesus, began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great, what?
Multitude.
A great multitude. It sounds like that they were needing to hear something. They were wanting to hear what he had to say. A great multitude, so that he entered into a ship. They thronged him. He was so crowded around on that beach, on the shore, that he had to get in a boat. Launch out a little bit to where everybody could see him. He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by what?
Parables.
And said unto them in his doctrine, be hearken,
listen.
Behold. Whenever you had two words like that together, that is Jesus is saying, I really want your undivided attention, children.
Yes.
I want you to listen to what I got to say because it's very, very important. I'm sitting here in this boat. I'm looking at every one of you. Every one of you's got a heart. Every one of you's got a soul. You've got a destiny. You've got a future. And I care about it. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you.
Yes.
Holy God. Hearken. Behold. Which means if you look it up, listen very close to what I'm going to say to you. And when I tell you, I want you to take heed. There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some of the seed, some fell by, what's that next two words?
Wayside.
The wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Notice and go over to verse 15, and he describes what he's meaning here by the wayside soil. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, they heard it. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Notice, The word was sown. The people heard it. How many people across the land we know of? How many revivals have come and gone? How many preachers and teachers on the airways? How many has preached? How many has witnessed and testified for Jesus, sown the word of God? People heard it with their ears, but it didn't get in their heart. We got a whole world that hears the gospel, but God's wanting to get down in their hearts. Oh, Lord, I want you to know the seed is the living word of God. Yes. Can I ask everybody in this house today, what does your Bible mean to you? What does the word of God mean to you? It is so important that Jesus came to bring us God's laws and his teachings to the heart of man to get them ready for eternity. Can you say, Brother Tommy, I want to get ready for eternity. I want my heart to be right. I want God's word to abide in my heart. Sow it, Lord, into the ground of my heart.
Yes.
Can I tell you, without God's word and our obedience to it, we can never, ever enter heaven.
Right.
I can't make it. This is, and Sister Anita, the Word of God, your Bible you hold in your hand, is your roadmap to heaven. It is your direction.
Right.
It is your light. It is your food. It is your manna. It's waters to your thirsty soul. It is your instruction. It is your wisdom. It is your strength. It is your grace. Can you say every bit of that, Brother Tommy? Is in my Bible. Oh, God. I want you to notice before we go further, there are four different types of soil, which is the ground of your heart.
Yes.
Listen, out of these four, only one type of ground is good, that Jesus said. Only one of them will produce good fruit. The ground is the ground of your heart.
Yes.
Every person in this world, Brother Charles, there's over 8 billion souls in our world today. They all will fit in one of these categories. You cannot live in all four and make it to God's good heaven. In the first three categories of ground, we learn why the seed cannot grow, why the word of God won't bring forth fruit of righteousness in the life. Why that there's no harvest. Notice, in this parable, very little, Brother Ron, is said about the sower. Very little is so said about the seed, because they're perfect. The need is on our end.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm the one, Lord, that I need to hear. I'm the one, Lord, that needs your word.
Yes.
You are perfect. You're the God of truth. Hallelujah to the Lord.
Yes.
Woo! I need you to work on me.
Yes.
You have to run the plow through me, Lord. Plow me deep, dear God. Turn up the soil inside of my heart. Pulverize it. Till it. Oh, Lord, make the furrows through my heart. And when you do, sow the seed of the good, living, holy word of God down in my heart. How many knows that if we'll get that seed down in our heart real good, and God plows us real good, and we become humble before him, he'll send the sunshine, and he'll send the rain, he'll soak the ground. How many knows the water is his spirit? And you raise your head and say, send it, Lord. Send the rain down and soak the ground of my heart. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to bear fruit for you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I had a time with this yesterday. Kathleen, I preached and preached as I typed. I said, oh, Lord, work on me. I'm your garden. I'm your husbandry. I'm the ground, Lord, work on me. Make something beautiful out of me, Jesus. How many's had the Lord to work on you?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not in the condition I used to be in. He made a brand new me. Oh, blessed Lord, nothing in this world to have God any better, to have God to walk through the garden of your heart. Walk through me, Lord. So we see that the sower is perfect. He's perfect. Listen, there's not one flaw. Not one flaw in his word.
That's right.
It's just as powerful right now as when Jesus spoke it. It's just as real. Life is still in it. God. Okay. And these are by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately. I don't like it, guy. He's given me a lot of trouble in my life. He has thrown roadblocks at me. Listen, many of them. He has threw stumbling blocks in my path. Come on. He's tried to get my attention because he don't want me thinking about the Lord. He'll throw distractions. How many's ever had the devil just one distraction after another? One after another. You know what he wants to do is take you away from God's word. Holy Lord. Then cometh Satan immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These people in that first category of the wayside ground, they heard it. There was no excuse. They were somewhere and heard the message. But something was wrong with their heart that it could not enter in and take root. Did you know that before you can plant a garden and sow seed, that ground must be tilled and plowed.
Made ready.
It has to be made ready. Did not the Bible say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up? Yes, God. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The soil must be turned over and tilled and made soft. Can I say, God, would you give me a soft heart? Don't let me be hard like this world. Hard natured. Oh, Jesus. In this first category, the preacher or the teacher sowed the seed, the word of God, and the people heard it, but some fell by the wayside. Say wayside with me.
Wayside.
I dug some history, Brother Ron. I begged God. I said, please, Lord, show me what you mean by the wayside ground. What? There is something there. It's deeper than I really know. I asked him to reveal it. With much study and digging into the history, at that time, I discovered in Bible time, the wayside soil is the hard ground beside the furrows, which had been packed down by the feet of farmers and passersby. When the farmer walked along and dropped the seeds down into that furrow, some did not make it into that soft furrow of the ground that had been broken up, but some of the seeds fell near his feet. Where he walked. Say it with me, where he walked. Palestine, Brother Ronnie, in Bible days had no fences. No fences separating their fields and gardens from one another. So many people traveled by foot. In their business ventures, it was nothing for them to cut across plowed fields to visit others walking between the furrows before the seeds germinated and the crops came up in the garden. The ground become crisscrossed all over until it became hardened where the seeds laid on top of the hard ground. Yes, the soil in the fields had been tilled. They'd been cultivated, laid off in furrows to receive the seed. But if that seed, listen, if that seed did not make it down into the soft prepared soil, it would never sprout. It would never grow. That precious seed would lay on top of the hard ground and fall prey to the fowls, which would come and devour it up. This is the wayside ground where the seed landed that's been trampled and hardened by the feet of people. Are you getting this?
Oh, yeah.
Hardened by the feet of others, crisscrossing your ground, walking over your ground. Listen, the ground of our hearts must at all costs be conditioned and prepared to receive the good seed of the Word of God. It must be kept soft. We're living in a world, children, I'm telling you, people are walking. We're walking over others. Look at our government. Look at the age we live in. People are trampling God under feet, trampling the blood of Jesus under their feet. We live in a society now where Christians are hated. They're despised. They rejected God. They don't want Jesus. Away with his laws. The Christians ain't nothing but Bible thumpers. Oh, Lord, can you say, God, keep me humble, Lord. Keep me soft, Lord. I want to hold on to your seed and that good word, no matter what others do, what they say, holy God.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
A society, they're trampling God's mercies. Dear Jesus, what are you telling us here in this first category of the wayside ground? Remember, before Jesus ever started to begin this parable, he said to that great multitude that had gathered, hearken, and behold, Satan will come. Satan will use circumstances. He'll use situations to come to you to get you hardened. Holy God. Hearken and behold means to listen and take notice what I'm telling you. Don't let the ground of your heart become too hard for the Word of God to enter in. If my Word cannot enter into your heart, then my Spirit cannot move for you. My Spirit cannot save you. My Spirit cannot guide you. I cannot help you. If that Word cannot get in your heart, I can't help you. How many needs his mercy here today?
Yes.
How many wants his help?
Yes.
Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy Lord. God wants to bless you. He wants to guide you to heaven. Now listen, this is where many people are today. The Word of God cannot find its mark in the soul. It can't find a lodging in hearts, because the ground inside of them has been hardened by this uncaring world, by the evil deeds of people who have walked across their lives and left them hardened. I'm dealing with wayside ground today where people walk. We all know by experience, we've all been there and witnessed it down through the years in the lives of the others, that people come and they go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are on the move. Stay with me. They pass in and pass out of your life. Friendships are made. Friendships are broken. Fellowships were made. And after a while, things happen and those fellowships dissolve. We've seen revivals come. We've seen precious souls pray at our altars. They stay for a little while, but they're soon gone. What happened? What happened in their hearts? What transpired in their life that made them turn away and fade from view? It's a heart issue, my friend. Sometimes when dealing with people, many unseen things can happen. Many times not on purpose. And as a result, people become hurt and confused. As a result, confidence is shattered through some thoughtless word or deed. It happens in families. It happens in churches. It happens even on your job. It happens in the workplace. It happens among sinners. It happens in this secular world concerning money and finances. Can I say today, welcome to a world where human beings are making many tracks. Unsettled souls are on the move. They're searching, walking about across the hard ground, and they are missing God. They never make it to the good ground of God's blessing. Oh, raise your hand and say, help us, oh Lord. I feel him today. I'm glad I found him. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad I got good brothers and sisters, ain't you? How many's glad for the good, sweet Holy Ghost? How many's glad for the people that you love and you know that they love you? How many's glad for fellowship among the saints? How many's glad for the prayers of your brothers and your sisters? I tell you, we have a heritage today. We are blessed today that we're in the fold. Hallelujah. What took me to come to Jesus? Hey, the route was that Holy Ghost conviction. Sister Ruthie opened up my heart and I saw a better way, a higher way, a good way. And I prayed and Jesus got a hold of me. Can I tell you, he's still working on me, like that song says, to make me what I ought to be. Ain't you glad of that today? He never gave up. Oh Lord, the potter never gave up on the clay. Sometimes we gotta be broken over and over again. Hey Lord, to be made in the image of my God.
Thank you, Lord. Break me, Lord, if I need to be broke. Break my spirit. I've been there before, and I'm telling you, it's a hard route to go. Is to be broken. And we never get too old in the Lord not to have something to break us. You know why? It keeps us soft. It keeps us soft in here. How many's ever had dear friends to come and they just walk off? Huh? How many's ever had people in your life, fellowship was made, churches was building, services was good, Holy Ghost moving, and it just seems like it dissolves. People scatter. They scatter. They go their way. And it leaves us in a state of confusion. Well, God, where are you at? Oh, Lord, help me, God. Help me, God. You know what? You know why that I'm staying in this thing? I've got to make it for myself.
Amen.
Right.
I got to make it for myself, and whatever I can do, Sister Maria, to help encourage you, I will do it. I will do it. Praise be to the Lord. God called me to teach, and I know that he did. He opens up my understanding. He gives me wisdom and knowledge to be able to give his word out, to see the condition of people, to see the condition of people's hearts. I don't want to fail God. I'm in this thing, Brother Terry, for you. And if I hold in there, I can be a blessing to you, Sister Lisa. And Brother Ronnie, I can be right by your side of pushing you on. Come on, Lord. Don't let my heart get hard. There'll be a lot of circumstances that will come. It'll confuse you. It will disappoint you. It will break your heart when people walk out of your life.
life. But can I tell you, Jesus, he's been with me over 52 long years now, and he never walked out. Sometimes I drifted away from him, but he never left me. I'm glad that I opened up my eyes and I ran back to him.
In serving God, somewhere down the line, you'll find yourself going through a hard time and a hard trial.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a letdown. Maybe some hard thing in your own personal life that's caused you to suffer and you feel like it ain't fair that this has happened to me. Even family could walk off.
Yep.
I'm not dealing with anything going on here. It's not that. It's how I take it. I just preached it. Maybe on polo. Maybe you've had family that's walked off. They don't understand you. They don't want your holy way. Oh God, they don't want to be committed like you are. They'd rather find an easier way.
Yep.
I'll just go down the road and you have a smorgasbord of churches everywhere. You can live any way you want to live. You can dress any way you want to dress.
Right.
But the good holiness way, for a lot of circumstances, people has left it. Family will walk off and leave. People are scattered. Raise your hand and say, I'm holding on, Brother Tommy. I'm holding on for myself. I'm going to keep right on shining the light. Oh, God. Things can happen in your personal life that you suffer over it. And I'm telling you, I could go through the Bible, and there's many times that good men of God ask God why. Job says, why, oh God? David the psalmist, brother Ron, how long, oh Lord? Jeremiah said, I wished I'd have never been born. That's what Job said too. Sometimes it gets hard. Our hearts get broken. Come on. But if we don't pray through that brokenness, our hearts can gradually turn hard and get hard over the deeds and the words of others.
Right.
God, harden you. By nature, through our human losses and suffering, we can easily turn bitter. Bitter toward the world. Bitter toward people. And even turn hard toward God. Listen, the passing of people in and out of your life can harden you if you let it. What is in it that causes many souls not to find the good salt ground? Can I tell you, whatever you do, hold on to Jesus. It's never been him. Thank you, Lord. It's never been him who caused you the hurt and the pain. It's the good, he's the good shepherd. And he will take care of his sheep. And can I tell everybody in this house today, you are his sheep. You are his beloved. You are his children. You are important to him. Do you believe that Jesus was ever broken? Do you ever believe, through the reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus' heart wasn't broken? Oh, Lord, did he ever get to the point he's thinking, how many more is going to walk off? How many could say, I want to be in that clan, Brother Tommy, that'll stay with my shepherd? Lead me, God. If you were broken, if Jesus had to cry, and if he had a Gethsemane, we will have one too that will say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I'm still going on. I tell him I'm still going on, Lord. No matter who walks on, who does what, who don't understand. Hey, Lord, I'm going on.
Thank you, Lord.
Precious Lord. I'll say this, and came to me just now. I had a a man at Birth Plan. This was years and years ago. He was a metallurgist from India, and it was hard to talk to this guy, but they put him over my foremans, over the supervisors and everything. And well, he come down there, and he didn't know the job. I mean, the man, we had everything worked out, you know, how the process was that worked in my department, how to work the furnaces, how to load the metal out, every procedure, we had it down pat. This man was named Panny, P-A-N-I, Panny Panography. I never did forget this guy. Man. Panny Panography was this Indian's name. He come down there and he got in the office and took all of our paperwork and rules and stuff, rewrote them, and he went out there and said, this is going to have to be done this way, this is going to be done that way, you have to load the metal out this way, you're going to have to stack all of this stuff in this area right here. He made it horrible. He made it almost double hard on us. He kept changing things. Now listen now, I'm human. I got angry. I never said anything to him, but I thought to myself, Panny, you have made it hard on us. I got to where every time I see him come in my office, I couldn't stand him. I'll be honest, I could not stand the man. I got to where if there's a fine line there that I hated him, I hated this individual. Well, I found out that my prayer life dissolved. I couldn't pray. Every time I seen him, they was, man, you've made it so hard on me, on my workers and stuff. And to listen to the other guys I work with, they's a cussing him and cussing and a carrying on. I never said anything to the man, but it was in here. It was my attitude in here. I never even gave him a mean look. I went off like this. I did. And I'd bow, Sister Anita, I'd bow on my knees at my bedside and try to pray. I could not pray. Panty come before me. Another day would roll around, another week would roll around, he'd come down here. How's everything going? You have to listen real, real easy. I mean, he had the dialect. What's this guy saying?
Yeah.
What's he going to tear up next? I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks or something. I don't know, maybe a month went by. It's more than that, and I'm telling you, my spiritual life went zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz I couldn't even cry. Sister Maria, I could not cry. There was no tears that rolled down my face. I tried to praise him by faith, and my heart was getting harder the whole time. It got to where I couldn't stand it. And I got down, and I said, I'll never forget this. I said, Lord, I said, I guess you told me to pray for my enemies. I guess. that you told me to pray for my enemies and those that despitefully use us. And so I pray for that man. I wouldn't call his name. I said, I pray for that man, God. Have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. Get up, come to the next church service, dead on a doornail. I couldn't praise. I couldn't worship. I couldn't cry. Get on my knees, and it felt like, you know, the ceiling over me was brass. I got to where I couldn't stand it. And after several times of praying for that man, I prayed for that man. God have mercy on him. Brother Ronnie, I wouldn't get nowhere. Nowhere. I got so broken. Listen, I got so broken of missing my God's hand and his blessing in my life and his spirit. I got so broken. I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to me and says, call his name to me in prayer. And I said, Jesus, and honest, when I got to this point, I said, would you touch Penny? Lord, touch him and help him. And when I said it, I meant it with my whole heart. Sister Anita, heaven opened up and I was able to cry. Tears rolled down my face. That stony heart, that hard heart that was a forming inside of me, it broke. It broke. Come on, we all want to have outside pressures that will come against us. It tries to get in us, to harden us. Holy Lord, unfair things and things we did not ask for. And our trust is broken a lot of times. And Our hopes and dreams seem like they're dashed and we don't understand why. Holy, raise your hand right now. Lord, I don't want to turn bitter, God. I don't want to ever turn bitter, Lord. Holy, holy. Oh, God, don't let my heart ever get hardened, Lord, toward other people and toward you, Jesus. Oh, a lot of times we've got to go on. Pray for them and love them and go on. One preacher said, before you ever get to church, before you ever lead out of your door, if you can pray through in the prayer closet concerning other people, God will give you victory whenever you face them. Right.
Woo-hoo. I didn't know I'd go this route. There was a church service going on one time. There was conflict in the church. Well, come to find out, there was an old woman there. And she was up in age, they said. But anyway, she sat on one side of the church, and there was another woman that sat on the other side of the church. And this old woman, she had an odd against that lady over there, that sister over there. And she wouldn't even talk to her, wouldn't even shake her hand, and she had something in her heart. Whatever it was transpired, it just made her hard. And the service was hard. Seemed like the Spirit of God couldn't move. Well, God got a hold of that old woman. She's getting ready to die, up in age, and she said, oh, I know I'm not right. I'm going to have to pray through over this. I'm going to have to love that sister over there. Well, she stood up after the preacher got done preaching, gave the altar call, and Granny stood up. And she said, I want to confess. She said, I have held grudges against Sister So-and-so over there. Things that was said and things that was done. And said, I kept it inside and said, I wouldn't shake her hand and I didn't love her and I despised her and everything. And she looked over and called that sister by name and said, Sister So-and-so, I love you. I love you and I forgive you. Would you forgive me? That pastor said, that's it, Granny, bury the hatchet. Bury the hatchet. Woo! Can you wave your hand to the Lord today and say, God, keep me humble. Keep me broken, dear Lord. Woo! Humble and broken. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That golden rule, don't forget it. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Praise God. Can I tell you, it's an evil time out there. It's a cold and cruel world outside of our doors. Yes. People with hard natures that have been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God never created our feet to walk on anybody, but to walk on a path of humility and obedience with others' welfare at the center of our hearts. Oh, God. It's sad, listen, as I close. It's sad that many are walking the streets today that were once in church serving the Lord, but now they're away from God. Remember, we are dealing with the wayside soil, the hardened ground of the heart, where God's word cannot enter, His Spirit cannot work and bless. Oh, precious Lord. I'm going to quit right here, but the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know where you really live at? You're walking around physically today, but you know where you really, really live? It's inside of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it issues that eternal life. God bless you.